All right. Hope you had a great weekend, and I hope you be careful of the heat out there. This heat index is dangerous, and even for healthy people. So beware as we have a couple of more days of it going. Another week coming up, another great week. Anytime you love what you do and you feel well, I mean, how much better does it get than that? And joining us, as he often does, Michael Heller. He is the president of VeriBank, V-E-R-I-B-A-N-C. The website is veribank.com, involved in bank ratings and research. And he's here to continue the discussions on what a lot of people have been informed me as news to them. Well, it's been news to me, too. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I knew all about this. I really didn't. But it's been a great education. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Stu. Thanks for having me back again. Just for those listeners that haven't heard us in the past, a quick overview that we are a bank rating and research firm. We can tell you how financially safe your bank or credit union is, and we do that from a guaranteed no conflict of interest because no bank has ever paid us to rate them.
That's important. No conflict of interest. It's like going to a financial planner who gets commissions from specific companies and he recommends these or a broker who has, you know how this game works. This is, it's neutral. You'll get the facts as Michael sees them, as his bank sees them. And speaking about the how the industry is doing, Michael, how has the performance been for the first quarter of this year?
Well, assets for the industry are almost $17 trillion. That's T for trillion. Of that $17 trillion, about four institutions, the J.P. Morgans, the Wells Fargos, the Bank of Americas, and Citibank Nationals, represent more than $7 trillion of that $17 trillion. Now, we are seeing a concerning trend in that more risky loans are being made, and we classify risky loans as commercial real estate loans, which have been increasing over the past couple of years. When we look at the data for the quarter ending March 31st of 2015 versus March 31st of 2016, we saw an increase of over 11%. And then again, from March of 2016 to March 31st of 2017, we saw an increase over 9%. Another category that we follow, construction and land development loans for those same quarters, March to March for the last couple of years, we've seen an increase of more than 12%. And, however, 16% and 12% respectively for those two quarters. Yet the reserves that banks are supposed to keep that anticipate loans that are expected to default are not keeping pace with those previous categories. In fact, they're not even close. Again, looking at the last couple of quarter comparisons for March of 2015 and March of 2016 and 17, we saw these reserves actually go down a little bit, just under a third of a percent. And then more recently, we saw those reserves go up a little less than a percent. So it's concerning that those types of loans, which everyone knows are a riskier loan, they carry higher interest rates, but yet doesn't seem the banks are keeping pace with reserving for potential loan defaults.
Now, I know you're not in the business of making these judgments, but do you see us in danger of another real estate bubble?
I would say a cautionary indicator is that we're starting to see in the off-balance sheet items of the banks that report their securities, where they package these real estate loans and sell them to Wall Street, that there's an uptick in those as well. So we are concerned that we're heading down that same path again, Now, we are seeing quarterly net income rising, and yes, capital levels are up, but if the underlying underwriting models are flawed because of potential loan defaults, these positive indicators are just masking and temporizing what's inevitable.
I could compare the performance of the entire country with the performance here in the Northeast.
The Northeast is, these trends of these commercial real estate and construction loans are actually a little bit more aggressive than the national rates. However, the reserves to account for embedded losses have picked up over the last year a little bit. We still don't feel that it's a comfortable level, but it's certainly better than the national averages. But again, the pace is not on track with the degree of the increased lending that they're doing.
Give us the tie-in between the number of brokers using the ratings for a due diligence report. And also, I want to make this a two-part question, and how financial professionals will benefit by working with a bank safety rating firm.
Let me address the second part first, and that's our system provides any financial money manager, that's advisors, CPAs, broker-dealers, with a combination of protections. Since we've never been paid by banks to rate them, these fiduciaries reduce or have their professional liability risk mitigated. And since our rating methodology is actuarially based, we have a model. We don't call up banks and ask them how they're doing. So there's no arbitrary information that gets into the ratings model. They can look at our track record and pick the actuarially based risk level that they or their customers are comfortable with when choosing the banks they place their CDs or money market accounts. Now, I know, you know, in the last, I don't know, 7, 8, 9 years, CD rates have not been very good, but for those people that are focused on conservative and very safe investments, our service can help, again, mitigate those professional liability risks because no banks ever paid us to rate them, and our ratings model has been vetted by several insurance companies. So because it's actuarially based, they know there's no potential for conflict of interest, and there's a tremendous track record of performance.
Yeah, did you want to address the issue of the broker-dealers using their ratings?
Yeah, a number of broker-dealers come to us because they can create a due diligence report that they feel adds value for their clients' liquidity portion of their assets. So together, we often custom design for their clients when they place these funds for them to give their clients the high-level view. And if they want details, we can provide them with the details behind the ratings. But a high-level view of where the funds have been placed and the ratings that we've assigned and what the level of risk is that the broker-dealer or the advisors have chosen as a minimum level of risk that they'll accept.
All right. Any closing comments in the last minute that you would like to make?
Just that if anyone is concerned about the safety of their bank or want to know whether their bank really fits their business model, we can help them understand that as well as our unbiased ratings and research can put their minds at ease at the level of risk they've assumed by dealing with that financial institution.
All right. And the website is verybank.com, V-E-R-I-B-A-N-C, verybank.com. You've got nothing to lose. You'll get cordial treatment, whether you choose to use the service or not. It's an important one. We're all apprehensive every day about whom we can trust, and there is no fiduciary interest in your personal activities or anything. This is a company involved with objectivity. And Michael, I have to say it's been a pleasure. We look forward to having you back.
Well, thanks for inviting me on, Stu. And as you suggested, be careful of the heat today. It's going
to
be
all
brutal.
Right. We're going to move on to segment two, and later on in the show, talk about leadership. This is Stu Taylor.